they will celebrate the Thanksgiving for God's creation, exactly 9 months before Christmas. On this day, as recounted in the Gospel, we commemorate the visit of the Archangel Gabriel to a lady with the news that if she would accept, she could be the mother of our Savior. Today's episode is the famous passage taken from the prophet Isaiah, in which the man of God announces the fulfillment of God's promise made before Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Despite being permitted by God himself to ask for a son, Ahaz had the audacity to refuse by claiming that he did not want to bless God. It is also possible that he felt self-assured because of his alliance with the Assyrians in his difficult war with the kingdom of Israel to the God. Despite his refusal, the prophet Isaiah delivered to him the sign of the future birth of the Messiah, born of a virgin. Ecce ego concipit et pari fili, et portabitur nomen Deus Emmanuel. There are those who refuse to see that the liberation promised by God through the Son is that of the incarnation of his Son, the birth of the Messiah, since the liberation from sin is the most complete liberation that we can possibly receive. This prophecy of Isaiah is a fulfillment of the promise that God made to Eve when he applied the curse on the serpent in the Garden of Eden. In reading the passage in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, we see that the Hebrew word "armies" that was used is far more precise than the Latin verbo or the Greek patens, in identifying that the virgin who will give birth is a young woman of marriageable age, but not married as yet, as opposed to a young woman who is not married but of any age. In all the ways by which human beings come upon the earth, men and women are born of their mothers, and Eve was created from Adam. It remained to the power of God to bring forth a man from a woman, a manifestation of his creative power that he reserved for the human birth of his only begotten Son. It is in a way fitting that we celebrate today's feast during Passion Time, since our Lord, whose birth is announced today, was condemned to die on the cross from the first day of his life on earth. Moving forward in time to that of the New Testament, St. Luke makes it clear that the virgin mentioned in the prophecy of Isaiah is the Virgin Mary. The passage chosen for today's Gospel is that of the Annunciation and can be divided into three parts: the salutation of the Archangel, the human origins of the Messiah, and lastly, his divine origins. For the Latin Virgo, St. Luke uses the word Parthenos in Greek, which was also used in the Septuagint written 100 years previously as the translation for the original Hebrew Aram. Moreover, the evangelist uses almost the same words as the prophet Isaiah when he recounts the angel Gabriel telling Mary, "You shall conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Since the Blessed Virgin could conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, the name chosen for him, Jesus, or the Savior, was indicated by God himself through his angel. The birth of our Lord and his life among us was foretold by the prophet Zephaniah, a passage of which our lady was certainly prepared. This is seen in the humility by which she asked her angel Gabriel how this was to come about, since she was espoused but did not know man. In the old Jewish religion, the betrothal or espousal and the wedding did not have the same significance as they do today. At the betrothal itself, the man and woman promised to each other marriage were already considered husband and wife, and a serious reason would have to be presented to separate them. The purpose of the wedding was to validate the marriage. The Blessed Virgin and St. Joseph were therefore already husband and wife under the old Mosaic law when the angel Gabriel came to Our Lady. Her question to the angel would be all the more absurd, therefore, since she would be expected to have children eventually. The only possible explanation for this question is that Our Lady had taken a vow of virginity that St. Joseph had accepted. For this reason, the Archangel angel had to appear in a dream to St. Joseph and assured him as well that what was happening to Our Lady was of God. Our Lady prayed the Virgin in partu and postpartum, during birth and after giving birth to Our Lord. Given that the angel Gabriel greeted her with the words full of grace, she was free and holy, free from all stain of oration and personal sin. She therefore never had to suffer the curse placed upon Eve regarding the pains of childbirth, as prophesied by Isaiah and Micah. She was a virgin in partum while giving birth. She was also a virgin postpartum after giving birth to Our Lord, as confirmed by the passages referring to the brothers of Our Lord in the Gospel of St. Mark. These passages use words common to several Oriental languages that refer to members of an extended family, but in English can only be translated by the word brothers. The Gospel of St. John also confirms this explanation when it reports Our Lord giving Our Lady and St. John to each other as mother and son. Our Lord would not have done this if he had sinned. Dear faithful, on this day we commemorate the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise that he made to us when he had to cast out Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. There are many today who sow seeds of doubt about the virgin birth, about the existence of Our Lord on the earth, both as God and as man. As you can see, a careful study of the scriptures dispels all doubt about today's feast. The Annunciation is a day of great joy. It is the day that we commemorate the incarnation of the second person of the Holy Trinity. Because Our Lady said yes to the Archangel Gabriel. In exactly 9 months, we will celebrate the birth of Our Savior. Our Lady was the exact antithesis of Eve in her prudence, her loyalty to God, and her humility. Let us ask her to win for us an increase of faith, hope, and charity in our Lord, for he so loved the world that he sent us his only begotten Son, so that we could have eternal life by faith.